Welcome to the latest edition of the Clinical Radiology Podcast. I'm Dr. Russell Froude, and it's with great pleasure I'm joined today by Dr. Adam Brown, who is a breast radiology registrar at the Royal Free Hospital. We'll be discussing his paper on unilateral axillary adenopathy following COVID-19 vaccination. First of all, thank you for joining me today, and congratulations on the paper. Can we start by discussing the background of your article? How common is unilateral axillary adenopathy following the COVID-19 vaccination?
Hi, good morning. So we don't actually know how common it is yet, as no large study has looked at it, but we're pretty sure that it's more common than anyone thinks. It's probably somewhere in the region of 10 to 20%, and this is backed up by what the CDC study in America found to be the case when testing the Moderna vaccine. We also know it tends to be more common after the second vaccine dose, and it also varies by vaccine. For example, we know that the Moderna vaccine is particularly more likely to cause adenopathy than the Pfizer vaccine, for example. We're encountering it in patients who present with a palpable and sometimes tender lump in the armpit, but more often than not, it's an incidental finding picked up on imaging performed for other reasons. And this then can cause a diagnostic dilemma, particularly in patients with a history of cancer. The reason we're seeing so much of it in such a short space of time is obviously because we're undertaking the fastest and most comprehensive vaccination program we've ever seen. And that's why we're seeing all these patients come through at the same time.
Thank you. Is the finding unique to COVID-19 vaccination, or is it found with other vaccinations?
It's not unique to the COVID vaccine. We know it happens with other vaccines, such as the influenza vaccine, the BCG vaccine, and the HPV vaccine. But we know with those vaccines, it is quite rare, and it's more common with the COVID vaccines. And we think that's because the COVID vaccines invoke a greater immunogenic response compared to the more traditional vaccines.
How long is it present following the COVID-19 vaccination?
Again, this is something that more data is needed on, but it seems like the adenopathy is visible after just a couple of days and can persist for up to 4 to 5 weeks after receiving the COVID vaccine. That's certainly what we're experiencing, and it seems to be the case in several published case series. But it's important for radiologists to remember that there are case reports of it lasting up to 3 months following the vaccine.
Can we discuss the imaging features on the different modalities? What are they?
So if we start with ultrasound, on ultrasound, the lymph nodes appear reactive, essentially. That is that they maintain their ovoid shape and fatty hilum, but develop an increased cortical thickness. So there are no specific features on imaging on ultrasound that would suggest reactive lymph nodes are a result of the COVID vaccine compared to any other cause of reactive lymph nodes. So in that sense, the ultrasound findings are rather nonspecific. On FDG PET, this is probably the most sensitive modality when looking at reactivity on lymph nodes, and it's the modality that we first noticed at our institution an influx of adenopathy coming through following the vaccination program beginning. We found that most of the COVID-related axillary nodes that we were seeing on PET were actually normal on the CT component. In other words, they were not enlarged and looked otherwise morphologically normal. And that's backed up by a recent study which found that only 5% of patients with nodal reactivity on PET actually had enlarged nodes on the CT component. With regard to PET, one quite useful tip in supporting the theory that the avid lymph nodes are due to the vaccine is to also look for hypermetabolic inflammation in the deltoid muscle of the same arm, as we've found that the two findings often occur together. Moving on to MRI and CT, again, the findings are rather nonspecific in that the lymph nodes appear reactive with a thickened cortex, but the nodes themselves may or may not be enlarged. As on PET, you might see signs of inflammation in the ipsilateral deltoid muscle, which can be seen on MRI as high T2 or stir signal in the muscle and surrounding skin. And on CT, you might see some stranding surrounding the reactive node itself.
So with the finding of unilateral axillary adenopathy not being unique to vaccinations, are there any guidelines for assessment in high-risk patients, for example, for patients with breast cancer?
Well, actually, the British breast screening advice was to carry on as normal. That means to say to call anything back for assessment that appears abnormal on screening imaging. Obviously, the threshold for follow-up and further investigation needs to be a lot lower in high-risk patients, such as those with breast cancer. In those patients, a shorter interval follow-up scan and a lower threshold for biopsy is definitely warranted. But in patients in whom it's an isolated finding with a normal breast scan and no cancer history and a recent COVID vaccine, it is, we believe, reasonable to dismiss these as vaccine-related reactive nodes. And obviously, if there's any concern at all, these patients can be followed up with another scan around 6 weeks after their second dose or after their first scan to check how things are progressing. Only then, if it persists, we think you should consider a biopsy. It's worth remembering that biopsies themselves of axillary nodes are not without risks. They're uncomfortable for the patient, so they should only be done if necessary.
Thank you. And has this guidance changed throughout the pandemic?
Well, new guidance has been released periodically since the start of the pandemic, but I think the main gist hasn't really changed. So the Society of Breast Imaging in North America was the first society to suggest that we start taking vaccine information on the patient questionnaire forms. Information, you know, such as vaccine type, the date the patient had it, which arm it was given in, and that's still the advice. And that helps us to interpret the imaging and decide on further management if we do then see the extra lymphadenopathy on the scan. And we've created it as a question on our patient checklist at our hospital for imaging that includes the axilla. Although the guidance hasn't changed much, what we have done in practice has changed based on how things have progressed through the pandemic. For example, at the beginning of the pandemic, when we were seeing all these lymph nodes, we didn't really know what was going on. We were obviously having a lower threshold to biopsy these, whereas as time progressed and we realized that this was a more common, increasingly seen benign side effect of the vaccine, we were quite happy to take a more conservative approach and watch and wait and dismiss these if the clinical scenario fit.
Can I ask, how does the UK advice differ to other countries such as the USA or Canada?
So the main difference is, I think, in regard to the breast screening, as I was mentioning before. So the Public Health England has specifically said not to postpone or reschedule screening mammograms and to recall any abnormal findings for assessment as we would normally do. Whereas in North America, they've actually said that screening scans should be rearranged and planned or scheduled for either before the vaccine or for 4 to 6 weeks after the vaccine. So their tact is obviously to try and avoid this dilemma arising on scans and just to schedule appropriately, where our advice in the UK seems to be to carry on as normal and bring back things that appear abnormal as we would normally do.
Thank you. And what are the take-home messages for radiologists who demonstrate an enlarged axillary adenopathy on imaging in high-risk patients who have recently had the vaccination?
I think the take-home message has to be really just to be aware that this is common, that we are seeing it a lot, and we have been seeing it a lot now for several months. It's always difficult, but the aim here is to get the balance between not subjecting patients to unnecessary biopsies, but also not dismissing or missing possible cancers and delaying treatments. I think it needs a sensible case-by-case approach, taking into account the whole clinical picture, obviously, especially any history of cancer. But in general, if it's an isolated finding in an otherwise healthy individual and fits with the vaccine window, then it's entirely reasonable, we believe, to take a conservative approach. We definitely need more data on how long the axillary lymphadenopathy persists for following the different COVID vaccines. And this would help us to refine the follow-up protocols if we knew how long it persisted for. It's also worth remembering that this issue is likely to continue occurring in the future if and when, I'm sure we will, move on to different COVID vaccines and boosters. So this is an issue that's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
And any final comments?
I just want to say thanks to all my co-authors on the project, in particular Dr. Anmol Malhotra, who oversaw the project.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure, thank you.
Well, that concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening. Read the articles online and keep up to date via the Clinical Radiology website and via the Elsevier Twitter page.